3 hours later. "Found it," she says. I look up from the report I'm reading. "Are you sure?"
"Certain."
I stand up and walk over. She's leaning over an open drawer and her arms are tense as wires. I think she'd be shaking if she wasn't holding herself still and stiff. I look over her shoulder. The drawing is a geometry curve, all right. Actually, I've seen ones like this before. The aborted summoning Dr. Volman demonstrated in front of the class that day, was it only a few weeks ago? Looked quite similar. But that one was designed to open a constrained information channel to one of the infernal realms. I can't quite see where this one is directed, at least not without taking it home and studying it with the aid of a protractor and a calculator. But a quick glance tells me it's more than a simple speakerphone to hell. Here, we see a differential that declares a function of tau, the rate of change of time with distance along one of the Planck dimensions. There, we see an admonition that this circuit is not to be completed without a cage around it. A good thing the notation we use, and that of the Ahnenerbe, is derived from the same source, or I wouldn't be able to figure it out. This formula looks surprisingly modern. It's some sort of curve through the complex number plane. Each point along it is a different Julia set. And that is where the human sacrifice is wired into the diagram by its eyeballs while still alive, for maximum bandwidth. I blank for a second, flashing on the evil elegance of the design.
"Are you sure this is it?" I mumble.
"Of course I'm sure,"
Mo snaps at me.
"Do you think I'd..."
She stops, takes a deep breath, mutters something quietly to herself, then...
"What is it?"
"I'm not 100% certain," I say, carefully placing the notepad I was reading from down on my chair and moving to one side so I can inspect the diagram from a different angle. "But it looks like a resonator map, a circuit designed to tune in on another universe. This one is similar to our own. In fact, it's astonishingly close by. The energy barrier you have to tunnel through to reach it is high enough that nothing less than a human sacrifice will do."
"Human sacrifice?"
"It doesn't take much energy to talk to a demon," I explain. "They're pretty much waiting to hear from us, at least the ones people mostly want to talk to. But they come from a long way away, from universes with a very weak affinity to our own. Information leakage doesn't imply an energy change in our own world. It's concealed in the random noise. But if we try to talk to a universe close to home, there's a huge potential energy barrier to overcome. This sort of prevents causality violations. The whole thing is mediated by intelligence. Observers are required to collapse the wave function, which is where the sacrifice comes in. We're eliminating an observer. Done correctly, this lets us talk to a universe that isn't so much next door as lying adjacent to our own, separated by a gap less than the Planck length."
"Oh,"
she points at the map.
"So this thing, it's a very precise transformation through the Mandelbrot set, which you guys have used as a map onto a Lind continuum, right? Why don't they just set up an n-dimensional homogeneous matrix transformation? It's so much more intuitively obvious."
She manages to surprise me at the damnedest times. "I don't know. Have to read up on it, I guess."
"Well..."
She pauses for an instant and looks very slightly disappointed, as if her star pupil has just failed a verbal test.
"This is very like what I saw. Got any suggestions for what to do next, wise guy?"
"Yes, there's a photocopier upstairs. Let's call the curator and run off a copy or two. Then we can get someone back home to compare it to the photographs of the shipping container at that murder site in Rotterdam. If they're similar, we have a connection."
This ends Disc 4.